Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
The TalkSport Daily Podcast is proud to be in partnership with Enterprise Rent-A-Car. Whether your business needs cars, vans, or larger commercial vehicles, you can rent from the best lineup in the UK with Enterprise. And with flexible long-term rental, you can get vehicles for as long as you need them, from minutes to months. Whatever the mission, Enterprise's mobility experts can build a bespoke solution to suit your business needs. Visit enterprise.co.uk/business to find out more.
This is TalkSport Daily.
Hello. Yes, I'm back. Andy Goldstein here, and welcome to another edition of the Andy Goldstein TalkSport Daily podcast. Yeah, apologies, I've been away. I've been doing some snooker stuff, not been playing. Apparently, I'm too good for them. Yeah, that's not the case. But anyway, it doesn't matter. I am back now. And of course, I will never, ever leave you again until someone else offers me copious amounts of money, which won't happen. Right, let's start with a very busy podcast and a good one as well, I'm led to believe, because I'm looking at the words here and some of them, yep. Oh, Max Rushton. Anyway, most of it's really good. Let's start with the press box with Danny Kelly, Katie Price's ex-husband, Simon Jordan, Sean Custis and Matt Law. It's them talking breaking news concerning Everton.
Carlo Ancelotti is set to be confirmed as Everton manager and likely to be in charge for that game against Arsenal. Let me repeat that for incredulous toffees up and down the country. TalkSport sources understand that Carlo Ancelotti is set to be confirmed as Everton manager and likely to be in charge for the game against Arsenal. I'll start with you, Simon, because we weren't going to do Arsenal here, but I love football. Every story gets leapfrogged by another one. We were wondering which direction Everton would go. And you even thought there was a chance Duncan Ferguson would be given an opportunity, but obviously gone for a much bigger fish. Surprised that Carlo, but first of all, surprised that they've gone for Carlo Ancelotti, and surprised that he's taken the gig.
Yeah, a bit of both, actually. I mean, I think what I said actually was I think it would be not a bad thing for him to do, sure, to settle down and maybe think about who they were going to bring in, and there was nothing wrong with leaving Ferguson in place until probably January. If they've got an opportunity, Ancelotti is a top manager. And I think that Everton now are moving in a direction that for some time they've been threatening to do, which is go and get a heavyweight manager. Now, whether Ancelotti's career is sort of levelling out, that's debatable, but in profile terms and in vantage point terms, it is a significant move by Everton, because in he'll come, I suspect he'll come with rather heavyweight demands as well, because a manager of that currency will put the board, specifically Mascheri, under pressure to be able to match the expectations that will be increased by the nature of this appointment to alongside the playing personnel. But I think it's a really interesting appointment, and it's, you know, an ambitious one on paper. Whether Ancelotti is the right fit for Everton and his brand of football, I don't know. I'm not sure. But I do think it's a heavyweight appointment.
Okay. Sean, either you knew about this and the back page is already set up with Ancelotti on it, or you're going to have to spend most of the show tapping away at your mobile phone. No. Which is it?
I mean, I think a lot of people were on to the fact that Ancelotti was coming in to talk to both Arsenal and to Everton. He wanted a bit more love from Arsenal. And
Does love mean money?
No, I think he'd be disappointed that didn't work out. They didn't show that they wanted him enough. I think they wanted him to convince them that he could restructure the club, you know, build it up from youth, had lots of tactical...
You're hearing this, Simon Jordan. Managers need to be loved now. They need to be told how much they're loved.
But Everton were definitely showing him the love. And look, he likes living in London. He's always enjoyed that. He's a gregarious character. Arsenal, for him, he thought wouldn't be a bad fit. But Everton, hey, they love him. They've gone for it. And, of course, he'd be very familiar with Goodison Park, because it's where he got the sack when he was Chelsea manager in 2011 on the steps at Goodison Park.
And our guest, Matt Law, you can still stay. You don't have to run off and write this, do you?
No, I'll be fine. Like Sean said, this is fairly well signposted. I don't think it's
Hang on, none of you mentioned it when we were sat outside for the last hour.
You haven't been reading your papers this week. You've been reading all your Telegraph and the Sun. It's been rumbling on all week.
Okay.
I don't think it's a coincidence that the Arteta one with Arsenal has moved forward and then this has suddenly moved.
Yeah. Go on, explain the relationship.
Well, Ancelotti's clearly, his preference would have been to go to Arsenal. And therefore, once the Arsenal one's passed, this has been able to almost unlock the door to it. Had the Arsenal one rumbled on, I don't think this would have got done yet.
Next up, we can visit the Alan Brazil Sports Breakfast Show, and Sam Allardyce is saying he could sort Arsenal's defence out. He's got a point, actually. I'd play him alongside Mustafi and then give maybe Mustafi that little free roll, because if you've got old Breadhead in front of your goalkeeper, no one's getting past him. Oh, as manager in the dugout. Right, my mistake.
Would I take Arsenal? Of course you'd take Arsenal, wouldn't you?
I think
who'd take Arsenal, but I'm never going to be in the frame, Alan. Don't worry about that. So I just think that what they're looking for, they need to be very quick about, need to be very precise in what they need to do. Well, I don't think I'm fashionable for Arsenal. That's the problem. I feel that some of the way it's been portrayed as me as a manager wouldn't be associated with Arsenal as a football club, and how or what style I've tried to play. Like, I mean, I've always been pragmatic in what I do and what style I play, so I've always picked a style to suit the players. I know there's reputation at a football club on how you should play, but realistically, when you go into a football that's club struggling, it's about the capabilities of the players you've got to find and get them to play to those capabilities. And then when you get results, you ask them to do more. And when you improve the team, you buy a better player than you've already got. And then the football gets better, and the flair and the excitement increases from there on. Nobody will be enjoying going in at Arsenal at the moment. Mm. That's what, when you face that as a manager, when you go in and you're asked to come in and do a bit, what is really crisis management, Alan, when you get this time of the year, when you're asked to do and step in, it's crisis management, and you have to start making the players believe in themselves again. It's not about what you are so much as a coach, it's about what you are as a man manager, actually extracting the best out of the players again and breeding some confidence back.
Time now to head over to the Jim White Show alongside Danny Murphy. I love the show, it's fantastic. Max Rushton, is it? Oh, it was an awful show today. Absolutely appalling. Danny Murphy was bang on the money as always, though. This is him talking about the story of Arsenal's officials meeting Mikel Arteta this morning, that's yesterday morning now, at his house. And if it's true, then it's his words, not mine. Very naive.
I'm very aware of how managers, players, officials meet up, because I've done it, and I know people still in the game and how they meet up and where they meet up and how many lengths they go to make that secret. So having them at the house, stupid.
Right.
I would be amazed if Arteta has not spoken to Pep about having that meeting before he had it. I really would. So in terms of Man City to ask Arteta to clarify his future, I mean, how would anybody know if Man City are going to ask Arteta to clarify his future? They've just made that up. How would they know if they're going to ask him to clarify his future? I think someone from Man City's phoned up a journalist or phoned up Sky and gone, we're just about to ask Arteta to clarify his future.
I mean, they would obviously argue that they haven't made this up, but who am I to
know? No, it's an assumption that it's fair to make, isn't it? If Arsenal officials have been walking outside Arteta's house, it's easy to then surmise that Man City might ask him about his future. It's just a silly comment. But the point is, I would be amazed that if he hadn't had a conversation with Pep out of the respect he's got for him, wouldn't you think? Working under Pep as long as he had, and the way I've been played against Arteta many times at Everton and Arsenal, he's a purist. You know, he'll want to play the football that Pep plays. I might be wrong. He might surprise us and be mix it up. He might be varied in his approach. I can't see that, be working under Pep for as long as he had. I think he'll go in there and try and get Arsenal playing, not like City exactly, but he'll have a footballing philosophy. He played that way. He obviously coaches that way. Do Arsenal need that right now?
There you go, Danny Murphy and a competition winner. Now, on to Hawksby and Jacobs. Paul and Andy in their usual place between 1 to 4 weekdays. Not to be confused with their usual place Saturday and Sunday. That, of course, will be in a care home.
Guns N' Roses will be the first band to play at Tottenham Hotspur's new North London Stadium on May the 29th.
Yeah, I did see that.
Along with the Danny Roses.
Yeah.
They won't be there at all.
Maybe you'll do a support set, possibly. Yeah.
And, of course, Gary Lineker was presenting Sports Personality of the Year up in Aberdeen last night, and a bit of preparation, had to travel there. But that wasn't good enough for one bloke who wrote to the And they published this. It's incredible, to the Daily Star. Oh, notice that Gary Lineker didn't present MOTD on Saturday night. Was he busy sat in a dark room sobbing his little heart out over the election result? No, he was getting ready for Sports Personality of the Year. These people are amazing, aren't they? The way, especially looking at life like that. And I tell you one thing, though. It's always difficult when your son or your daughter doesn't support the same team as you.
Mm.
And Prince William was telling Mary Berry, I don't know why, but for some reason...
Well, they sort of hang out together then, yeah. That's a bit odd.
Hello, Mary, I just want to tell you this.
Yeah.
that basically...
How did you find out? From Mary or...?
Well, it was in the paper. Oh, okay. They're on telly tonight. Right. A Berry Royal Christmas.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's one I shan't be watching, I'm
afraid. Unai Emery hosting it.
Very good evening.
Prince, sounds like a winner.
Prince William, who along with wife Kate appears on BBC One's A Berry Royal Christmas tonight, yeah, at 8:30, tells TV baker Mary that his six-year-old son loves football. George has already written his list to Father Christmas, said Prince William, and we might give him something to do with either drawing or football. I try not to be too biased. I said to him, you can support anyone but Chelsea. So naturally, he supports Chelsea. So he's a Chelsea hater, Prince William.
Well, they say, why is he? Is it, why is that then? Because he's Villa man, isn't he? Yeah. He's a Villa man.
Well, why would he? Say, why would he ever such a thing?
He's got a lot of
Chelsea.
Posh mates who support Chelsea.
I would imagine that's it. Yeah, that's what I think.
It probably is. I imagine
there's quite a lot of
King's
posh
Road
people
set
that support Villa as well.
Yeah, I mean, you've got a very posh fan base. I've only got to look at the Matthew Harding to realise that.
Oh, yes.
All stand there with their monocles on.
Oh, very much.
All the blokes
so
who sit near you, incredibly posh, aren't they?
Yeah, they are. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Very much. What was this bit? Oh, yes. Paul Scholes, this is a random fact.
Mm.
Paul Scholes used to eat a Fry's Turkish Delight before every game.
Did he really?
Yes.
That's a good fact.
It's a good fact.
Why that one in particular?
Doesn't take you any further unless you were a fan of rhyming slang, but other than that, I wouldn't bother.
Yeah. Well, maybe that's what
that
they meant.
Describe Chelsea on Saturday.
Maybe, yeah. He always had a Turkish Delight. It's quite a
whole team did,
a Turkish Delight before the game, really.
That's true.
Like racehorses.
Hi, I'm Danny Kelly, and you're listening to TalkSport Daily.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am, but Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
This episode of the TalkSport Daily is brought to you by Enterprise Rent-A-Car. Planning to hire or share a car or van? Enterprise is there every step of the way. Whenever and wherever you need a vehicle and whatever it's for, Enterprise can help. With over 450 locations across the UK, they're just around the corner. Whether you need a weekend rental, a holiday hire, a replacement car, or you're planning a business trip, home or away, Enterprise are there to help. To find out more and book, visit enterprise.co.uk.
Time now to head over to the Ginger Fella and the Cricketer. This is Adrian and Goffey on Drive talking 442 and its return to modern football.
I'm looking at Wolves as an example, okay? And I appreciate they've spent 30 million on a striker. I think the next most they've paid is 18 million a couple of times. So we're not talking about, you know, a club that's in the 50, 60, 70 million pound market. So nobody can come on here and say, oh, they've got loads of money. They threw loads of money at it. It's not really the case. So what they do is play a different way. They tend to play or have played and had success and got into the Premier League and got into Europe playing three at the back with attacking wing backs, with creative midfielders. And generally with Raul Jimenez up front on his own, but with attacking midfielders who go and join him. It's a way of playing, but a way of allowing players to express themselves as well in a way that 4-4-2 cannot. Now, here's my big issue with Sean Dyche. He's doing very well, keeping Burnley in the Premier League. I get it, totally. And he's doing it playing 4-4-2 every single
and it's
week.
Easy to coach. It's not hard because they can do it every single day. What else has he got?
He doesn't need to do anything else because Burnley are not expected to really win anything.
So he's coasting.
They're not expected to finish in the top 10. If they do, it's an unbelievable dream season. They're expected to finish mid-table, if they can, in the Premier League every single year. So why would he risk doing anything different?
To challenge himself?
But what? And risk the club getting relegated?
How about trying to do it and staying up and being better? Would that not be a thing?
It's a massive, massive risk there, what you're taking. If your bank manager was making you a steady amount of money every single year, and you said, tell you what you should do next year, mate, gamble it. Gamble it all. It don't matter if we lose. It don't matter if I lose all my money. What would you say? Hang on, no. It's the same thing, mate. We're talking millions.
We're talking millions. Coffee, it's not, because you're saying gamble it. I'm saying Sean Dyche should back himself. And let's see what he's got as a coach.
But that is gambling with money. Put it somewhere different. Put it somewhere different.
He's not gambling with his own money either.
You don't know, because if you've got a way of doing it every single year and you get your 8% or 9% or 10%, whatever you get, right? And then suddenly you said, next year, what we could do is change it a little bit. We might get 15% or we might get 1%. What do you want to do? He said, do you know what I mean? Depends what where you are as an individual. Sean Dyche is always mid-table, happy.
Yeah. Yeah,
and there's no wrong with that because the club are happy.
Because he's never going to get a bigger job.
But that's what the club want him to do.
That's fine, and that's if he's limiting himself, if he's setting the bar that low, then fine. He's always going to be seen as a winner with Burnley. But if he did back himself and wanted to get, he'll come out at some point in the future and say, I deserve to get the Everton job, or I should have got this job at this bigger club. There's all these foreign managers coming in ahead of me. Why did they get those jobs? It's because you just play 4-4-2 and don't do anything else. You're not showing anything else.
I agree with that. And the amount of overseas coaches that have come into to the country, they've brought new knowledge, they've brought innovation. We know that, and it's fantastic, but we see all these different formations. It really is. But now and again, I think there is a time and a place for 4-4-2. I don't think there is for every team. I don't think there is for every game. But I think sometimes there's nothing wrong with it. And I think it is a snob factor where a lot of teams go, I'm not playing 4-4-2.
Now we can hear from Chris Silverwood, the England cricket head coach, talking to our very own Guy Swindles. And they start off with the news that Ben Stokes won the Sports Personality of the Year award, which was a real shock. Unless, of course, you're watching the Sports Personality of the Year award an hour before it was announced he'd won.
Chris, well, here we are in South Africa. But it was interesting events last night. We better start with that. Sports Personality of the Year and a bit of a clean sweep for England.
Absolutely. I mean, it's fantastic to see, and everybody watched it. To see Ben get the credit that he deserves there is fantastic, as well as seeing the team get the recognition they deserve as well. As Owen said in the interview, it's been 4 years of the making, and to get there and to do it, I still get goosebumps now. It's fantastic. So, I mean, well done to everybody involved, really.
Any pressure now on you to kind of keep the cricket bubble going?
I suppose there's a little bit, but that's a gig, isn't it? Obviously Trev did a great job with the one days and everything. It is, I mean, but Morgs leads very well from the front in the white ball cricket, and it'll be as much giving him support as I've spoken about before. He will keep driving that and me helping him to do that. And in the test cricket, you know what I mean, we are working on ways of pushing ourselves forward as well, and you know what I mean, that will come.
Let's turn now to the test cricket, because obviously that's what we're here first for in South Africa. We've got a warm-up game, a couple of warm-up games first. Thoughts ahead of those?
Yeah, I mean, we're going to follow a similar sort of format to, I mean, how it panned out in New Zealand. We've got a two-day game, and obviously a three-day first-class game. So most people are going to go in the two-day game. Obviously, we'll start refining it down again in the first-class match. But, I mean, it's been fantastic prep so far. We've been looked after very well. It's a fantastic country to tour as well. I mean, I've got a lot of good memories here as a player, from a youngster playing club cricket here to playing test cricket, but it's and a lot of the guys have got great memories of performing well here as well, so we'll be calling them up. But looking forward to getting stuck in there.
And a reminder, you can hear the whole series v South Africa. That's live and exclusive on TalkSport 2 starting on Boxing Day. Now time to head back to Press Box and discussion about Mesut Ozil and his recent social media comments.
Mesut Ozil is a citizen of both of this country and free to say what he wants. Are Arsenal right to then try and back him down slightly?
No, I don't think they are. I think Arsenal should have just let it go. It's only because of in my mind, it's only because of Chinese money that they've done that, and the worry that it will harm them in the Chinese markets, which are huge for football clubs at the moment. I mean, look, it might not have been a wise or clever thing to do, but he was expressing a personal opinion, which everybody's allowed to do on Twitter, whether it's good or bad. As long as it was clear that it was his opinion and he wasn't trying to make it out to be an Arsenal opinion or putting it under any sort of Arsenal headlining or Arsenal imagery, again, I think it's fine. And I do know why Arsenal panicked, but I think it's wrong that they panicked. And I think they threw him under a bus. But the Chinese market is a difficult one for English clubs, because I remember being on tour with Chelsea when their young Brazilian player, Kennedy, he put something on social media he shouldn't about Chinese people. Yeah. That bordered on racism, or it was certainly taken that way, and it caused them all kinds of problems. They had to send him off the tour. They were worried they wouldn't be able to go back to China on tour.
Well, you had a similar thing, which is why Nigel Pearson lost his job at Leicester, didn't he? Yeah. Because of his own son getting involved in some unedifying commentary about. And you've also got the situation with Vincent Tan, with, you know, Malky Mackay and
very different
Moody.
To what Ozil's done here.
No, I know that, but people conflicting that culture and having a vantage point there, which is not taken well.
I'm with Matt here. I think, you know, he should be allowed to express his view. And actually, I think the club personally should stay out of it. You don't see Man City jumping up and down when Pep Guardiola expresses his backing for the Catalan movement in Spain.
Remember as well, this is a football club who have Visit Rwanda on their shirts.
I mean, and Arsenal, at the same weekend, see fit to distance themselves, that's the phrase they use, isn't it, from the views of one of their players. Hector Bellerin tweets out after the election, bleep Boris. Mm. Not a word said about that. Now, you know...
But we know why, as Matt's just alluded to it, because
that's pathetic, isn't it?
And equally, you probably won't see any players or clubs criticising the Middle East. That's very unlikely to happen. If it did, with an Arsenal player, I dare say they'd clamp down on that pretty quickly.
Well, as well, you've had players, I mean, express their opinions on Brexit. Eric Dyer went on there and put something about Brexit, didn't he? I mean, no one really... people found it interesting, but no one was outraged by it.
Now, I've got a little email here. It says, Dear Andy, big fan of yours. Love the snooker on Eurosport. When's that coming? Well, that's February, actually, for the Welsh Open, but that's a totally different network, so let's leave that. Anyway, I'll just quickly move on. And this one says, not been listening to Andy Goldstein's Sports Bar since you've not been in. It really is just poor, even though I like Jason as a sidekick. Just the presenter thing doesn't suit him. Coughs and splatters too much. So when are you back? I listen to your podcast daily, so I'll listen to the news when you announce its return, your return, and I'll listen back in. No name on that one. But I'll be back. Obviously, I'm back now. I mean, that's why I'm talking to you. So make sure you... another email's just dropped in. Glad to hear it. I'll be listening from 10 p.m. tonight. Oh, that's nice. Anyway, here are the best bits of Andy Goldstein's Sports Bar.
Good evening, sir.
How are you?
I want to speak to Jason about... I want to ask him something before we start. Is it possible?
Okay.
All right, Tone.
I'll just put you through.
All right, Tone.
Jay...
Hello, mate.
What happened to Chelsea TV? I am gutted. I live in Wigan, you know what I mean?
You can still get it. You can get it on the app, Tony. You can get it on the Fifth Stand app.
It's a pity I haven't got one, isn't there?
You got
Jason, really, as I said, I miss it. Right, as the bubble burst...
Tony, have you got a tablet? Have you got a tablet, Tone?
Only Coconomous.
I mean like a... Oh, it doesn't matter.
No, okay. I know what you mean, so... listen...
Well, that's it now for another Andy Goldstein Talks All Daily podcasty thing. Usually I sign off with some kind of ridiculous statement, but I've got real words in front of me. And they say this, I've got to do it in a serious voice. You've been listening to the Talks All Daily podcast. Please click and subscribe via Acast, Apple Podcast, and Spotify. Not all three of them, just choose one. Or maybe that help downloads actually. If you could do all three, that'd be great. There'll be another one of these the same time tomorrow. I'm still reading that, it's not me. And then someone's written my catchphrase down. Be safe, everyone. Be safe. You can't write someone's catchphrase. It's meant to be off the... No one wrote on Bruce's autocue. Nice to see it, to see it. No one would do that. No one write on the autocue for Nick Thingamajiggy that no one can remember his second name on Crime Watch. Don't have nightmares. I mean, you just don't write catchphrases down. And I'm guessing no one wrote on the autocue for Larry Grayson. Close that window. People just don't do it. Anyway, thanks for listening. Be safe, everyone. Be safe.
That was a podcast from TalkSport. The TalkSport Daily Podcast is proud to be in partnership with Enterprise Rent-A-Car. Whatever your mission, home or away, don't delay. Enterprise has the vehicle for the job. Rent from the best lineup in the UK. With over 450 branches, Enterprise has what your business needs. From compact three-door cars to spacious SUVs and people carriers to vans, they offer a large range of reliable vehicles perfect for the job. To find out more and book, visit enterprise.co.uk.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.